is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is irishholocaust.org. We will take calls after the next break at 800-313-9443. We do have an email question, and this is from Tom, and he says, and I quote, "Irish indentured servants were sent to the sugarcane fields in the Caribbean. Irish women were paired with African blacks on these farms." And Tom says, "My father, back in the early 1960s, met a few ladies who were light-colored black in Trinidad who said their grandmothers were from Ireland." Do you know anything about that, Christopher?
Yes. I was a contractor with my company operating out of San Juan, Puerto Rico, and I did work throughout the islands. While working, doing a job for the U.S. Navy in Antigua, I went over to Montserrat. It's called the Emerald Isle, and the logo on the front of Government House is a shamrock, and there's a Fogarty Hill there, and a place called Kinsale, and other Irish place names. So they were there, and there's a slight brogue remaining in the people to this day, but everyone is at least part African. There's not much of a white component left in their features. But it's nice to know that it was there. It seems that they settled there in Montserrat after a major split over on the island of Nevis, that's almost within view of Montserrat. And I also worked in Trinidad for a year and a half on the U.S. Naval Base there with my company, San Juan Pile Driving. And there are quite a few there also. But they were all slaves, or essentially slaves. They were in slave labor camps. There's not much. They didn't participate in the colonization part of it. That was done by almost purely English and some Scottish.
And then they just took the Irish women to work on these farms. And what time period would this be?
Well, the first one to do it was Queen Elizabeth, but large numbers was done by Cromwell in 1652. He sent out about 60,000 to the United States, they landed into Savannah, most of them, some into New Orleans, mostly Savannah and Charleston. They were the two main recipient ports for slaves and indentured servants. Typically, the shortest period for an Irish person at the time was 7 years. They were typically 7 years, 14 years, or 21 years.
And right, they would have to work as an indentured servant, and then they got their freedom, they lived through it.
For no pay, if they lived through it, but that was the catch, because, you see, they weren't property, and so their lives did not have to be defended. If you had a horse or a slave that you owned, you would not kill it. But having an Irish slave that would be free in a certain period of time, there was no point in... You know, here's how it worked. Along the Quantico River in Virginia, there's a record in the Chicago Newberry Library in which Irish families did all of their own life-saving work on Sundays. 6 days a week, they worked exclusively for the landlord, and the landlord did not provide anything for them. Everything they needed for their food, their clothing, their shelter, everything had to be done by their own hands on Sundays.
Wow. That is very interesting. Yeah, the Newberry Library in Chicago has a lot of great resources. I'm not crazy about their closed stacks, but other than that, they do have some good resources.
But in 1776, one of the great boons to the Irish in America is that they were no longer enslaved. They could not be treated like that anymore. That made a huge difference.
Wow, thank goodness. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes, and we will take your calls at 800-313-9443.
Meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Welcome back. Guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is irishholocaust.org. And if you have an email question, just send it to spingola1@yahoo.com. I also invite you to join my email list. Just click on the link on today's date on the radio schedule page. Christopher, let's take a call.
Okay.
All righty. Let's take Byron in Canada. Byron, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Hey, I just want to make a couple little quick little statements. Your show is fantastic, as always, anyway. Very interesting. I think the question that you're really trying to ask when you're saying how could the British do that to the Irish, I think what you're really trying to say, how can they do it to somebody that looked like they did? I think that's what you were thinking.
How can they do it to anybody? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I think it's easier to, you know, to go after people that don't look like you or their culture's different or whatever. But
sure.
When you have, you know, people that basically is like your, could be your brothers or sisters, you know, it should make it harder. Not that it makes it any more right to do it against, you know, someone that looks like you or someone that don't. But I thought maybe that's what you were trying to say. The other thing I was going to say was it's surprising that there wasn't more Jews involved in some of the troubles that the Irish were having, other than you were saying that Rothschild made a suggestion to ship them over to America.
Sure.
And the other thing I just wanted to say was how people can go after other people. And the one that really amazes me is Obama, what he's did in the Middle East. You know, from the background that he came from with all of the trials and tribulations that, well, at least we've been taught that the blacks have went through, and he's turned out to be probably more cruel, a bigger sociopath or a psychopath than George Bush is. In all honesty, if you really stop and think about it, I think he probably is worse than George Bush. At least George Bush, I honestly and truly believe, I think he might have thought 9/11 was for real. I think he was kept out of the loop. I think he was that stupid that he probably wasn't in on it. And at least at first, he probably thought he was doing something. I don't know. Maybe that's not right either. Maybe he knew. But Obama, though, you take with his background on at least his father was black. And for him to turn around and do what he's been doing to the people in the Middle East, in all honesty, if you really want to stop and really look at it, that has done absolutely nothing against the United States. In fact, if you look at the last study I've seen, that the Muslims and the Arabs are probably the least criminal group of any group in the United States that are likely to commit crimes. At least that's what I seen a study that revealed, and yet what he's doing to him, it makes you wonder what is wrong with that guy. And that's all I wanted to say. And you could even go back with the Jews. If the Holocaust was true, everything, which I don't believe, but if it was true that what happened to them, what they're doing to the Palestinians, I think is I guess if you believe that the gas chambers were real, which I don't, but
scientific evidence proves that they weren't. But
yeah, I agree with you. But, how could they be doing, what they're doing to the Palestinians? It's, I think, far worse than what the Germans supposedly done to them, considering the Palestinians never did anything against the Jews in the first place. All the crime has been the Jews that get done to the Palestinians. Now, there's cases where the Palestinians had some cojones and maybe stood up and started fighting back with whatever they could that, if you're on the wrong side, that could make you look bad. But, human nature, I don't know. Maybe God made a mistake when he put humans on the earth. I don't know.
You made the comparison between George Bush, who a lot of the time acted like he wasn't very smart, when in fact, he could give a speech without a Obama uses, one of those, what does he use?
Teleprompter.
Yeah, teleprompter. I mean, George Bush could get up and at least give a credible talk or a speech. But keep in mind that the politicians, we do not elect the politicians. The politicians are chosen and vetted by the elite in order to perpetrate their agenda throughout the entire world. And so the whole, voting process is a big sham. It's a big charade. Whether it doesn't matter, whether you elect a Republican or a Democrat, they're going to do what the elite want them to do, or they wouldn't be where they are.
Right. You brought something up there. How the West has always said they want democracy in all these other countries. Well, they need to practice at home. When is the last time there's been a leader elected president? When was the last one that never made his pilgrimage to Israel and get the blessings of the AIPAC and the Israelis? Everyone except Ron Paul is the only one that never made that trip. But I bet you his son will. It sounds like his son's going to go. So, But our leaders aren't elected. That's something that the American people and even the Canadians up here, it's up in Canada, we're getting under the same influence that you guys are under. It's just as bad up here.
Sure.
And it's time for the people to start waking up, taking our countries back, and realizing that this thing called democracy is a scam. It's BS. Hey, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate your phone call.
By the way, lest we use too broad a brush, I'd like to say that for the last 10 years, my wife and I have joined a group protesting and educating on behalf of the Palestinians at 850 North Michigan in Chicago in little Water Tower Park there.
Oh, really?
And for the last 10 years, every Sunday from noon until 1. But it is Jewish-led, you see, and so therefore we cannot paint in too broad a brush. They are the most active pro-Palestinians, pro-justice people for Palestinians in Chicago are Jewish people.
And how big a group is this?
Pardon me?
How big is the group?
About 15 every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another pro-Zionist group across the street from us that accuse us of being terrorists. But they're also, they're the flag waver. They have a big Stars and Stripes and a big Israeli flag. And they pass out Yeah, so there's those two, each side of the street. They're on the north side of the street. We're at the north end of the park. So there you
Amazing.
Have it. But my position is that we must do something about genocide, including what's being done against the Palestinians. That is a true genocide. And if we don't do something about them, that's going to be the policies from now on. That's the way that we are headed toward, it seems. We are headed toward systematized genocides. And
well, that's been going on since the so-called Civil War.
Wow.
Genocide has been institutionalized since the Civil War. And when you look at all of the genocides that we've had since that date, since the United States became socialized by that war, that is what we've been doing. And as far as the election of presidents, I mean, that's all been orchestrated. It's all been done, in the same deceptive way. The presidents have never really spoken for the people. The legislature, since 1913, since they sold out to the private bankers, do not represent the American people. They represent their pocketbooks because they make a lot of money by representing the corporations that pay them the big bucks. Look at all the money that corporations give to our politicians.
Yes, it's a system of bribery. And in fact, it seems now that they have now looted enough from our pension funds and banks to be able to keep our government bribed away from us for the next century.
Sure. And look at all the people, and I meant to include this in my opening remarks, although it's not a genocide. Look at all the people who have lost homes through the bailout of these banks, the so-called bailout of the banks. Look at all the people who are living mouth to, just heart, it's terrible.
Yes,
and yet the mainstream media does not even talk about it. You know, they talk about the foreclosures and stuff. But, foreclosure is a word. Let's talk about people who are living on the street, people who are living in their car, people who are living under bridges or in tent cities. Let's get over the word foreclosure, and let's concentrate on the people who are suffering. Those are the people we need to memorialize today.
Yes, I agree with you. But it's odd. We went through this once before, 1929 to the early 30s, when Hoover was all for austerity, the same as the Europe is doing today, and the people started to put up Hoovervilles across the country. But in their desperation, they brought in a semi-socialist who kept, I think, millions from dying with the Civilian Conservation Corps and the WPA.
Well, that was during the time that they came in with the Dust Bowl occurred, where 7 million people died.
Well, I didn't know that many.
Yes. They put them all in boxcars and went west with them, dumped them out in the desert out there, and they starved and died. And meanwhile, their properties in the Midwest, Oklahoma, and all those places that were oil rich were picked up by the industrialists who knew that there was oil under that ground.
Wow, I had not been aware of that. Wow.
And then, I mean, the whole 1929 crash was all orchestrated. In fact, Churchill came over here with his son. And, that whole thing was all orchestrated, and the bankers celebrated way into the night on the day of the final crash. And Hoover knew all about it. Hoover worked for the Rothschilds since probably 1895, 96. He was always in their pocket.
Well, Europe is headed Hoover's way today, and I don't think it's sustainable. I'm hoping that as people become more desperate, that they will see the injustice of what they're facing.
Okay, Christopher, I'm sorry. I gotta catch up. We're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Is Christopher Fogarty, and his website is irishholocaust.org. And we do have an email question. Let's and this is from George, and he said, "I never heard about the deliberate starvation in order to provide cheap labor for the USA North, but it makes sense." And then his question is about the other food available during the period being discussed. He says, "I have not studied the issue in any depth, but remember being told in a history course at the university that many Irish families were very poor and their diet consisted of potatoes, buttermilk, and the bulk of the diet was potatoes, buttermilk, cabbage, and maybe some ham every now and then. And they grew and produced all this food themselves, so when the potatoes failed, these subsistence farmers were left almost nutritionless. And as subsistence farmers, they would likely have had little money to buy the other food." So anyway, he sends his apologies, if you've already covered this question, but he just would like some answers about the other food that the Irish grew.
That's what the 115,000 armed troops were removing. When the American ship captain on the Sorcier pulled into Cork with his single vessel of relief food from Ireland, he said 6 vessels laden with food were on their way out. And so, and he was not permitted to land because Trevelyan, Lord Trevelyan said at the time, Charles Trevelyan, said that the famine was then over. he called it a famine, that it was already over. And so the ship was not allowed to land.
So George, go to irishholocaust.org, click on that map up in the left-hand corner, and that is where all of the regiments came in, all throughout Ireland except up north, and that is where they confiscated food, and they were confiscating it from individual family farms, correct? They weren't just going to the warehouses. There weren't any warehouses, right?
Actually, there were some. Some landlords had their head warehouses along the various ports. There were some, but they were collecting throughout the country. They were also collecting 10% of everything grown from everybody on the basis that that was owed to the local Anglican church.
Yikes.
And the British, both police and soldiers, I have the list of their tours of a few of them around for months, from townland to townland, removing everything. And they would remove, even if they couldn't get enough agricultural products, they would remove things like tools and clothing and kitchen tables and chairs.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, that's typical. I mean, that's what they Stalin did when he sent his military out to collect all the food in the Ukraine. And basically that is what the North did to the South. They went south. Remember, the North invaded the South. The South did not go up north. But when they invaded, they destroyed all of the food that they couldn't carry away. They destroyed food production. They destroyed the barns. They took the animals. They shot the animals so that they could not produce anything to eat. So not only did they confiscate all the food they could, but they took away the necessary tools in order to produce any.
You might enjoy Googling John Mitchell. He was a leader in Ireland in the 1860s and 70s, and was sent to slave labor in Australia, Van Diemen's Land actually. Finally, became free and became a chief aide to a general in the Confederate Army in the South. He lost two sons fighting for the Confederacy. John Mitchell. You might find it interesting to look it up. He was one of Ireland's great spokesperson. He wrote a number of books before he left Ireland that are just, they remain there as rebukes to all subsequent historians.
Okay, he was an Irish nationalist, it says.
An Irish nationalist and a Protestant, one of those apostate, you see, apostate English background, English origin people who knew right from wrong and was willing to abandon his tribe in order to stand up for justice.
Good for him. That's the kind of people we need.
Yes.
Interesting. All righty, remember, we will take your calls with questions or comments at 800-313-9443. So you've been talking about this for a long time, and what kind of response do you get from your Irish friends or from people in Ireland? Do they believe you or do they not believe you?
Those that I speak to and who live in Ireland all believe, because they know where their local mass grave is located. And they know that it has not been marked to this day. And they also know that when they were young, their parents told them to shush, to be quiet, but don't talk about it. And that remains there largely to this day. So they know, and they know, and the Irish government knows, and that's why it has initiated a different anniversary date for the people to so-called commemorate the potato famine. There was no potato famine. There was a genocide, and the Irish government is now covering that up. So they also know, because you can't cover it up properly without knowing what the facts actually were.
Sure. All righty, Christopher, we do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say
the answer's no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. Played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago, and you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your sure-tailed relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas ready?
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is IrishHolocaust.org. And I think it's very interesting that that the date, the official date, was November 3rd, 1845, the beginning of the so-called famine and the military removal. And then, you know, 15 years later, you have the Civil War when the enemies also did the same kind of a thing in the South. And then if you fast forward to the Filipino invasion, the U.S. Invasion of the Philippines, they also removed food from the people that could oppose the U.S. military. So food is a weapon, and you see that they use it in various events, various situations, and. You know, we all need food, so it's very, very effective. Let's take a caller. Let's take Andy in California. Andy, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for letting me on the radio today. Just tough day for me on a holiday weekend on this day of memory, and I'm just an advocate for repatriation in regards to having taxation with representation in this country, and I just want to thank you for letting me get on the radio today.
Well, you're very welcome.
And we have a little nonprofit called the Coalition of Living Disabled, because the dead couldn't make it, the Cold Foundation. And we're advocates for repatriation and bringing back judicial transparency to the people of this country so that we can have judicial branch of government that represents the people and have a voting process that represents the people and a military that's deployed that represents the people. And I'm just someone with dyslexia who uses a tape recorder for private notes, and I turn it on and I say, you're being tape recorded for quality assurance, just like right now, and we just want to uphold all aspects of the American Disabilities Act.
All righty. Appreciate your call.
That, we just feel that if one aspect of the American Disabilities Act is not upheld up in regards to the use of a tape recorder in public buildings, no aspects are held up in this form of protection of people with disabilities. And just by our nature of our disability, we tear down what's called the corporate veil and show and prove that the people, in fact, are not being represented by a government that has the best interests of our children's future.
Exactly.
And, with the Judicial Transparency Act and getting rid of the court stenographer's machine, putting a DVD recorder in place, it will save the taxpayers millions of dollars a year and be in a position to where they can ask their servant government to the people that basic question. You are upholding all laws. That's a yes-no answer. That's all I've ever wanted to do since 96 is have these individuals say yes when I ask them if they're upholding the law. And as of yet, they haven't done so.
Right.
We've exhausted all resources.
Andy, did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. I mean, do you have any ideas how we can inspire people in this country to give up subject matter jurisdiction and repatriate themselves and have the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence part of their life again? And it just the people with dyslexia who can show and prove with the press of a tape recorder that it's no longer part of your life.
Okay, Christopher, what do you think?
Well, it just sounds like he's well on the road, and getting on the air like he has done always helps. And I think we're fighting the same fight for basic justice, and I wish him well.
All righty. Thank you very much, Andy, for calling in. All righty. We were talking about... what were we talking about?
Well, the previous caller asked about, or seemed to be under the impression that there's nothing but potatoes in Ireland, and that when
right.
that crop failed, people died. And I'd just like to mention about from the shipping, the Limerick Intelligencer, or shipping news, in July 28, 1848, there were three ships, the Anne, John Guise, and Messenger for London, sailed with the Pelton Clinton for Liverpool, and the City of Limerick, British Queen, and Cambria Maid for Glasgow. This one-day removal of Limerick food was of 863 firkins of butter, 212 firkins, 1,198 casks, and 200 kegs of lard, 87 casks of ham, 267 bales of bacon, 52 barrels of pork, 45 tons, and 628 barrels of flour, etc. And then, so I have a whole list of names. If he goes to that website, he will see just from a few typical days' shipments, the names of the vessels and their cargoes, all of all food leaving Ireland while the people were starving.
Okay, George wrote in again, and he said, I'm not sure my question was fully answered, as I was asking how subsistence farmers were supposed to get the money to buy the other food. As I understand it from your first answer, they weren't totally dependent on potatoes and grew other food that was stolen. And if it hadn't been stolen, there wouldn't have been so many deaths. Is George correct in his conclusion?
Actually, your comment is correct in that they grew a torrent of food, of all kinds of agricultural product. You see, no army of English agricultural laborers came across every year to plow and to cultivate and to harvest the crops that were sent over. That was all done by the people of Ireland. So what happened is that on the fictitious basis that those English landlords in Ireland owned their land and everything grown on that land belonged to them. That was the fiction. That's and on that basis the British Army came in and removed everything. So the people who grew this torrent of crops got none of it. That all belonged supposedly to the landlord.
Okay, and it was an agricultural community. The whole Ireland was mostly agricultural, correct?
Essentially total, yes.
Okay.
And again, no army of agricultural laborers came from anywhere to produce this stuff. This is all produced by the Irish themselves.
Okay, so and what George referred to as subsistence farmers. Those are the farmers that lived on the land that the English landlords claimed and said that everything that these people grew now belonged to them, and they were coming over to confiscate it, and the people there were going to starve.
That's it. The notion, it was the British government, along with their landlords in Ireland, who said, the non-existent potatoes belong to you. Everything else belongs to us.
Yes, that's deliberate genocide for sure. Right?
And we have, yeah, indeed. And so it is that kind of, you know, genocides are not, they're not perpetratable without, first, demonization, and second, always a big lie must accompany. And we must always, if we're going to stop genocide, and if we don't, I'm afraid we're all doomed. The same people who are willing to commit genocide are probably willing to blow the whole world up in a hydrogen bomb or atomic bomb. We've got to get away from that entire area of using violence to make our arguments for us.
Sure. Well, you know, in my opening remarks, I talked about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and that they actually, Japan had offered to surrender in January of 1945, and the U.S. had worked, the Manhattan Project had worked on these bombs,
yes.
And they intended to use them no matter what, and so they simply ignored the Japanese offer to surrender because they weren't going to waste those bombs. This is the same mentality.
It is the same mentality, and in order for people to do that, the demonization must precede it, and so we must avoid that kind of stereotyping. I don't know how we can guard against it, but we see even among our own troops, I've heard it time and time again, ragheads, diaper heads, all this stuff, camel humpers, all this kind of things to demonize the people that you really want to kill.
Sure. And they did the same thing with the Filipinos.
Yes.
They compared them. Well, they did the same thing with the Native Americans. And then they went over to the Philippines and demonized the Filipinos. And in fact, the troops over there, I've got letters that I used in my first book, talking about what they called the Filipinos. I mean, they called them very, terrible names.
Yeah.
And of course, they had to do that. The U.S. government had to do that in order to get them to go and do what they wanted to do. And so you have to say, okay, who is behind the U.S. government? Who is controlling the U.S. government?
That is a huge, huge question. I guess those people who meet in different locations, secret locations every year that Mr. Tucker is doing his best to expose.
Yeah, the Bilderberg. Well, I think that the Bilderberg is certainly part of it, but the Bilderberg only got together in 1954, I believe, and of course a lot of this genocide occurred a long time before 1954.
Sure.
So I think that the Bilderberg is certainly, you know, a group of people that, whether for distraction or you know, what they discuss. I mean, even the summit that we just had here in Chicago, I mean, what are they talking about? I mean, you know, I would like to know what they're talking about.
Yes.
These people are supposed to be representing our best interests and, in fact, are not. And, you know, you just have to kind of wonder.
We have to celebrate those wonderful patriotic ex-service people who threw away their medals that day. And, of course, the news media do not show how many were doing it, how many did it. They only show two or three throwing their medals. But those are our American heroes. We have a lot to learn from them. And of course, it is clear to see that the establishment does not want people to know about them. That is why
Certainly.
They get no coverage. That was a key point of that whole 3 days effort, in my opinion, in Chicago, was that act by those veterans. And, of course, it was left essentially uncovered.
Right. Now, a few years ago, maybe, let's see, probably in 2008, 2009, there was an anti-war demonstration in downtown Chicago. Were you a part of that?
I have been we were with the 15,000 people, my wife and I, on Lakeshore Drive, the night after Shock and Awe, and we the police wouldn't let us. We were going up past where we live at 900 North Lakeshore, and I wanted to get off at the nearest get off there at the onto Navy Pier, and the policeman would not allow us to leave. I finally got an officer, a white-shirted man, to tell the others to let them go, but they had planned a beating, and they broke and split a lot of heads and broke a few bones and smashed thousands of dollars worth of equipment later down on Chicago Avenue. So the police had been planning violence, and we were lucky to get to not pass our house and stay with them for another 20 minutes when they were all beaten up by the police. But that was outrageous. Ever since then, after we would leave Jewish Voice for Peace at Water Tower Park, we would go down to the Art Institute, and we maintained an anti-Iraq war rally there until last year, every Sunday from 1:30 until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the police
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The police would come across frequently, and they beat me up a few times after handcuffing me, and they would issue me tickets.
They did? Why?
Well, because they were violently opposed to our position against the war. One day, two blue-shirted policemen struggled mightily, really wrestled with a white-shirted cop who wanted to physically attack us. And the other two pulled him away and barely managed to do so. But and I was locked up in the nearby lockup out on the south side. And then the ticket would be to go to court at 400 West Superior, and I would go there. No cop ever showed up. So all of these attacks upon us were criminal attacks by criminal Chicago police. But then, after years of that, James Keating was made the deputy chief, and he ended that. He ended that cop crime against anti-war people. And we were so grateful to Deputy Chief Jim Keating. But when Rahm Emanuel got into office, he was shipped out. He's no longer deputy chief.
Oh, is that why they got rid of him?
Well, I'm not sure why they did it, but he was our hero. He stood up for America when very few cops were willing to do so.
The big demonstration that I'm talking about, there probably were 5,000 to 6,000 people. Anti-war demonstration in Chicago, and I wish I could remember the year. It was either 08 or 09, and there were busloads of people coming in from the suburbs, and we marched probably, I don't know, 5 miles, and I mean, it was a great big demonstration, but they had buses downtown with bars on the windows, and policemen in SWAT gear lined up along, you know, both sides of the street, just waiting for somebody to you know, make a move or do something. And it's very interesting that the media did not cover this. However, they did cover this little tiny group of about 7 people who were pro-war. And that is what we saw on the news that night, is this group that were pro-war. And they never showed the crowds. They didn't show any of the crowds of people that were down there. And you mentioned that, you know, that you've been beaten up. There was a fellow out here in the suburbs who had a sign. He and a friend decided that they were going to display a sign over one of the overpasses. His name was Jeff Zarowski. And her name was Sarah M. Hartfield. They both were in DuPage County, lived in DuPage County. And on May 6, 2007, they displayed a homemade 12-by-4-foot banner with the words "Impeach Bush and Cheney - liars." And they did this on the pedestrian bridge, which is over the I-355 near Glen Ellen, Illinois. And a couple of cops stopped, approached them, and the cops were just unbelievable. They were actually state troopers, and they, you know, stopped and asked them to remove the sign, and they complied. And about 3 weeks later, these two people were both arrested and taken into court, and they went through a terrible situation because they displayed their feelings. You know, I think that's, you know, freedom to assemble. And Jeff was arrested at his home and escorted to the DuPage County Jail in handcuffs. And he was spent 7 hours in custody. And four holding up a sign.
Yes, supporting democracy is a very dangerous practice now in the United States. We were, my wife and I were locked up in the federal, the Central Correctional Facility at Clark and Van Buren for 3 days. And we would have spent the rest of our lives in prison, but we proved 15 months later that the FBI had criminally fabricated their only evidence against us.
Yes, they will do that, definitely. All righty, we do have to take a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Our guest today has been Christopher Fogarty. His website is IrishHolocaust.org. And basically, you were put in jail because of your activities?
Yes. The British government did not like what we were doing. And it was MI5 who bribed and subverted the Chicago FBI to commit these crimes against us.
Wow.
I would just like to mention to those who have access to my map, IrishHolocaust.org, on the computers, all of the capitalized words on that map are of counties, and that's the only capitalized word. There are counties, so you can see which county of Ireland and which regiment starved which part of which county, which British regiment did it. So it's all available to you. If you know where your grandparents came from in Ireland, which county, you can see which regiment starved their brothers and sisters.
Yikes. You know, in 1915, about 90% of the U.S. public was against participating in the European War. And people were neutral until the media launched a barrage of anti-German atrocity stories depicting the worst human brutality imaginable. The U.S. government published emotional propaganda pamphlets to evoke public anger against Germany. The war did not affect American citizens, and Germany was not a threat, so why should the U.S. government spend vast amounts of money and send its youth off to fight and die in a foreign country? But that's what they do. And the media had control then. The media has a lot of control now. That's why it's important to support alternative media. And imagine 90% of the public were against participating in warfare. And now look at the numbers now. I would venture to say that 90% of the U.S. public are for warfare because they are ignorant.
Yes. Well, they certainly, at the lead up to the war, the numbers in favor was increasing, but I think that they're decreasing now.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, and at least in the two we've been fighting, Afghanistan and Iraq, I think they're opposed to it. I don't know what the numbers are regarding Iran. I just hope it's not more of the same.
Well, you know who runs the media, so, you know, I mean, it's totally controlled. And so the people who get their news from the media, and we're talking about a major population that does get their news from the mainstream press, the mainstream media, and you know they just take that all in. And certainly Hollywood has done a bang up job of you know propagating their war movies. In fact, Hollywood was making movies back in World War I against the Germans.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes.
Yes, they have been in bed with the government since World War I. They made all kinds of anti-German movies, and I don't go to the movies much, but I'm sure that they're making all kinds of movies and producing television programs talking about or glorifying war and... So we've got this militarized nation, and it's a shame.
Yes, it is. You would wonder, where will the counter-activity come from? It's not coming from the churches with any effectiveness.
No, and shame on them for not saying something about that.
On the other hand, the Eighth-Day Center here in Chicago, of mostly Catholic nuns and a priest, have done a wonderful job against war for the last 50. They were there long before my wife and I got involved. They've done a wonderful job.
Christopher, thank you so much. We've run out of time. I'm so sorry we've run out of time. We're just getting started here. Thank you so much. I appreciate all that you do. Bless you. All righty, we'll do that again, and talk to you tomorrow. Have an interesting Memorial Day.